Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Folks, it's Jim Hansen sitting in for Frank, and we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. James Mitchell, author of Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. I think you made a very important point during the last segment that I want to expand on. The problem is absolutely not all Muslims. You know, there are plenty of Muslims. We've both met them. We've both worked with them, both here in the United States and overseas. I worked in, seven or eight countries with large Muslim populations, did more humanitarian work than any of the kinetic work we ever did, you know, immunizing children, building schools, digging wells. And as you said, most of those people just want to raise their families, be safe, and practice their religion in a way that doesn't mean they need to take over the world. But it would be folly for us to pretend that that is all Muslims, because it obviously is not. And again, it's easy to focus on the violent terrorists and ignore the people who support the Islamic supremacism and basically want to go ahead and do whatever is necessary, violent or otherwise, to push that agenda. Now, if we're looking in the United States, is it necessary for that message that it is not the Muslims who are just share American values and want to live with us, you know, in freedom, that are the problem? But don't we need to enlist them in helping stop the ones who don't?
Here's the problem that you're going to have, and I call it a dirty secret that nobody, and it's not really a secret, but it's one of those unspoken things. It is a sin for a Muslim to take the side of an infidel, even if the Muslim in question, who's doing whatever the action is in the wrong. So the problem that you have is, even though the more so-called moderate Muslims are not necessarily wanting to overthrow our government, even if they would like to see some aspects of Sharia in place, built into their religion are these sort of anti-sabotage ideas that prevents them from being able to openly act in our favor, if you see what I'm saying, without risking committing sins.
So now, and that obviously is the correct interpretation of, you know, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sunnah, all of the established doctrine of Islam. But the folks who would argue and say that that does not inform the lives of all Muslims, and therefore we don't have to worry about that, would say that not everybody means that, not everybody believes that. You know, there's a concept of kind of the Sunday Christian, you know, the person who goes to church once a week, or even, you know, lower on the food chain, maybe goes to church Easter and Christmas, but who says they are a religious Christian and believes they are. Is there an ability to create or believe, or does there exist a similar concept within Islam where those people can, if not ignore, at least not as reliably follow those direct requirements of the religion?
Well, you know, I'm an old white guy from Florida, right? And so for me to be even pretending to provide religious advice to Muslims would be completely rejected. But there are individual passages in the Quran and individual passages in the Hadith that would allow a person to work with infidels, particularly in situations. Well, let's imagine that you're a Islamist or Islamist-light, right? So you're more radical than moderate, but you don't really feel like you need to be fighting in the streets. Well, it is entirely possible for you to appear to cooperate with the enemy for, you know, for some period of time, if you think that not cooperating with them would set back the larger goal, right? So there's ways if you had the proper imams, but the problem is that Islam needs to be revised, right? But guys like you and me aren't going to be able to revise it. And in fact, a call from us to do that revision would be soundly rejected. It has to come from within. And, one of the things that perplexes me about our approach in the United States to this whole thing, like, for example, the cartoons or Muhammad or the Quran in the toilet here recently, which is probably going to turn out to be a hoax, or, you know, any number of these other things. Just they keep talking, well, we can't let these things happen. We have to restrict our freedom of speech. We have to restrict our freedom of action. Otherwise, these moderate Muslims are going to take to the streets and there'll be riots. Well, I agree with a guy by the name of Sam Harris, who says, basically, if all of it takes to turn moderate Muslims into a lynch mob is a cartoon, then we've got a bigger problem than we're even acknowledging. I think there are pockets of this sort of Islamist perspective, particularly when we no longer require acculturation into the United States. I mean, we no longer require we put people in the basically stovepiped situations where they don't even have to bother learning English, and then the next thing you know is you have essentially a ghetto, and I mean that in the old sense of the word, not the new sense of the word. You have this area where it might as well be in Syria, or it might as well be in Afghanistan or Somalia or you know, some other place, and that's where this fertile ground for radicalization takes place.
Now, you mentioned when you talked about how the idea that a moderate Muslim who had no otherwise inclination to become a terrorist could somehow be radicalized simply by an offense to the religion, and again the follow on to that being, there should be a positive affirmation of American values if you're going to live in America. You know, I think that's a fair thing. You don't have to ascribe to all of it, but you do have to accept the fact that we are a pluralistic society. You know, we do believe that you can practice your religion, but you can't force it on other people, that you can't conduct acts like honor killings or female genital mutilation. You know, there are restrictions that you must accept and that you should be leaning that direction, as opposed to, you know, like you said, being able to be set the other direction by the slightest provocation. And I think we need to be standing up and saying that's the expectation. It's again back to the idea that the fear of offending people from political correctness stops us from making that assertion that there is something worth standing up for in American culture, leads the extreme voices in the Muslim community to go unopposed. And the rest of their community is in fear of the more extreme voices and consequently, you know, is not going to stand in opposition to them.
Yeah, I think the two most dangerous overriding ideas that we're seeing right now is political correctness and this idea that multiculturalism is somehow a more valid view, because it's really not. If your freedom of religion requires that I be subjugated by you, enslaved or slaughtered, then I just assume you didn't get an opportunity to practice your religion. I mean, just in terms of that particular piece of it. And this notion that political, you know, my conversations with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed made clear to me that he views political correctness, our desire to have people like us and our desire not to receive any criticism for using our power to protect ourselves, this political correctness as a cloaking device that actually will allow them to operate in our midst without being afraid of pushback, because the pushback carries with it the stigma of Islamophobia, a term that was created by the Muslim Brotherhood to stop the pushback. So the problem that we face is we need people who are willing to put American national security ahead of political correctness and realize there are some ideas that have greater value than other ideas. Burning your wife on a funeral pyre, as they used to do in some Hindu religions, isn't something that we do, you know? And if you're a Hindu, you don't get to do that in the United States. Right. And so that's there is no reason for us to commit cultural suicide in the guise of tolerance.
Folks, we're talking with Dr. James Mitchell, and in our final segment, we'll go ahead and see if we can't at least chart a few paths forward and change some of the things that have been going poorly. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.